Well, I'm going to try to get serious. Turn your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 11. Want to preach tonight on the thought, pattern for progress. Pattern for progress. Matthew chapter number 11. Let me read verses 1 through 6. We do thank the Lord for the good spirit in the services today. All the music has been a blessing. And then this morning we rejoice in God's blessings. And He certainly gets all of the credit for the good day we've had. Chapter 11, verse number 1 of the book of Matthew. The Bible says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples and said unto Him, Art thou He that should come, or do we look for another?" Here, of course, we're talking about John the Baptist. Verse 4, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks tonight for the good day that you have blessed us with. And again, as we commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of your precious Son. Now, Lord, tonight I pray that you would help us as we again find ourselves looking into the Word of God again tonight and how we need your touch upon us, how we need your blessing. And I pray this evening that you will meet every need that's represented by every person who is in this service. Bless now the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Now tonight as we look at Matthew chapter 11, our focus tonight is on one of the most unique Bible characters who ever lived. The man that I'm talking about is none other than John the Baptist. This man was the greatest, the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was 6 months older than our Lord. He was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry was one of preparing the way for the Lord. John the Baptist was the one that clearly made it known. He was stepping off into the shadows. But the one who came after him would be getting the full spotlight. John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The attitude of John the Baptist was the attitude of humility. His ministry would bridge the gap between the Old Testament law and New Testament grace. His spotlight would be placed upon the Lord. And the disciples of John the Baptist would actually leave John and would begin to follow the Lord. He was a rugged man. He was associated with the wilderness. And he had a simple diet. His diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. Now, I mentioned some of the diet items in West Virginia. We didn't have to eat locusts and wild honey, though. Now, I have eaten wild honey. We used to cut trees down, and sometimes we would find honeybees that had a hive in a tree. Now, the wild honey, you have to really be careful when you deal with it. You have to, you know, strain it or whatever, because it gets a little buggy. But don't ask me how that compares to what I'm preaching. I'm kind of in a rambling mood, I guess. What got me onto that was the wild honey. Now, John the Baptist had a simple diet. According to what the Bible says, he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, I can't quite go the locust route, can you? His known world at that time was a wilderness. We could say that his known world was a wilderness politically, and it was also a wilderness spiritually, because of the spiritual condition of the people. He had offended the powers of Rome. And for that, John the Baptist is now in prison due to denouncing the adulterous relationship between Herod, Antipas, and Herodias. John the Baptist had the boldness. He rebuked that relationship. He said it was sinful. He said it was wrong. He made it clear it was adultery. And of course, that got him into trouble. He winds up in prison. You know, you don't hear too many people today preaching against that sin, do you? But it still is a sin. It still is wrong. People still need to get married. People still need to do right. God's word hasn't changed. The convictions are still the same. The Bible's the same. We can try to dress up the times all we want to, but it still does not get away from the fact that God's word is still the same. And sin is still sin. It's still wrong. And it will bring repercussions, namely judgment, unless people turn to God and get their lives straightened up. Now, John the Baptist was in prison because of that. I think of how there was a man in the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. Elijah was a fearless prophet. Elijah was also a person who took a stand, who preached against sin, who rebuked Jezebel, who preached against the sin. And of course, they turned on him. And Elijah, we know that he ran even for his life. He had God's power. He saw great victory. He saw victory over the prophets of Baal. But yet in the aftermath of that, he's running from Jezebel. It's amazing sometimes when you stop and think about how you can have someone that can be God's person with such power, but yet sometimes you see them fleeing for their life. What it indicates, of course, is the fact we're still human. I don't care how close to God we get, we're still human. We're subject to like passions. We have our fears. We have our doubts. We have our weaknesses. We have our mistakes. I don't care how close to the Lord, we still are human beings first. And another thing I want to point out tonight, regardless of how close to God we are, we still need the Lord drastically, desperately every day of our life. It's by His grace that we stand. We can get knocked off of balance. I'm talking about, and you know what I'm saying, some of the greatest Christians who've ever lived have been knocked off balance and have been defeated. We just need to stay close to God, don't we? This one here in the New Testament, John the Baptist, he came in the power of Elijah. He passes through a similar experience. His patience is tested. His faith is tried, and his troubles causes doubt. He's in prison. And at that point of time in his life, he's wondering, he's thinking, is this one who claims to be Christ? Is he really the Christ? He began to generate some doubts while he was in prison. But he handles it right. Because he looks to the one who he was sent to represent. He believes that the Lord is still on the throne, and he is still convinced in the end. We know Jesus sent the disciple to him and assured him that John had not made a mistake. He did the right thing when he trusted in the Lord. And so the word of the disciples encouraged John the Baptist. And if old John would have had that song at his disposal, when he had that ministry, he would have cranked up the music in the end. Here's what he would have sung. But at last I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt, for I wanted God to give me something I would know about, so the truth would make me happy, and the light would clearly shine, and the Spirit gave assurance that I'm His, and He's mine. So I prayed to God in earnest, not caring what folks said. I was hungry for the blessing. My poor soul, it must be fed. Then at last, by faith, I touched Him. And like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. John the Baptist got to the place in his life, he said, oh, bless God, I know it's real. I may be doubting, I may be in prison, I may be suffering, but I am convinced God is real. It's amazing how the Lord still pulls us through those times, isn't it? Have you ever had your doubts? Have you ever had your fears? Have you ever sometimes wondered, what's this all about? Have you ever wondered from time to time, have I made a mistake? I mean, hey, here's what I mean. Sometimes the people of God, we get to the place in our life where we're thinking, why is it I'm trying to serve the Lord? I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live for God, and I'm having nothing but one problem after the next. Then I look down the corner, corner of our block, and I see someone with his big fancy house, big fancy automobile, coming and going as they please, has no pretense of testimony for God, but it seems like everything is going well for that person. And here I am trying to serve God, and I go from one problem to the next. And sometimes a Christian is tempted to say, why me, Lord? Why are things happening this way? That reminds us of Psalm 73, doesn't it? Just like sometimes we get to the place where we say, I've washed my hands in vain. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I'll tell you, God always has a way of bringing us back to the bases, back to the roots, back to the source. We always wind up back at the fountain, don't we? Even when we go through those problems in our lives, in those tough times, God still breaks through and lets us know it's worth it all. John the Baptist had a similar experience as that. I think of another servant in prison. His name was Paul, and you know about him. In Rome, Paul wrote, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He writes an entire epistle, and the centerpiece, theme of that epistle was joy. And that's the book of Philippians. Wrote it while he was in prison. Most of us have a hard time gendering up joy outside of prison, but he had floods of it inside of prison, didn't he? That lets us know tonight what God can do. You see, there's one word that is the word of consolation that you and I need to always depend on, and that word is Christ. Paul said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and I'll tell you, there's no if, and, buts about it. There is consolation in Christ. So here we have John the Baptist in prison, discouraged, dejected, wondering, is this even the Lord I'm representing? But I'll tell you, God lets him know he's on target. He's okay. So what's the secret tonight? What brings us through it? The Lord Jesus Christ. The victory we have in Him. You know, how much does God have to work with any of us to get us to the place in our life to where we realize it's all of Him? It's His grace that we must depend on. It's His strength we have to have. It's His companionship. It's His help. Or apart from that, we're in a world of hurt. We can't depend on our health. We can't depend on our friends even. We can't. But God would have us to realize tonight He's trying to bring us along in growth in grace to where He gets us to the place in our life where we realize it's Christ and Christ alone that sustains us. Now, John the Baptist, let's go back to the man we're preaching about. He is in prison. Jesus, of course, would die. He would conquer death. He would be resurrected. He would ascend into glory. And the Comforter would come. But at this point of time, John the Baptist, while he's in that stupor he's in, he sends out word, do we look for another? And here's what he gets back. And I like this. Disciples come back to him. Jesus said, tell John this. Think about it. They said, tell John this. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I'll tell you, that's all it took. John was convinced because he knew, yes, the blind did receive their sight. John knew, yes, the lepers are cleansed. John knew, yes, the deaf do hear. And then John knew, yes, the gospel is being preached. That's all it took. Any time in our lives where we begin to question and doubt where the Lord is, what God is doing, all we have to do is look around us and realize what He's already done. Look at your own life. Consider what He's done. And by the way, if he did anything in the past, he still works. What was it that kept John going, though? How did he have progress? How did he get through all of that? What is a pattern of progress? Well, look with me, one verse in particular. John chapter 1. Turn there for a moment. John 1, verse 6. Let's move over to the Gospel of John for just a moment. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. John 1, 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name is John. Let's look at the statement. There was a man. There was a man. That's a powerful thought right there. God had his hand on a man. Do you realize it doesn't say there was an angel? It doesn't say there was an angel. It says there was a man. Who does God use today? He uses human beings. That's an amazing point, isn't it? God uses human beings. Look at the statement. There was a man. God saves and uses human beings. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's human beings. That we, human beings, should be called the sons of God. That's an amazing statement. There was a man sent forth from God. We see not only the statement, there was a man sent forth from God. In every Christian in this building tonight, you've been sent forth. Go ahead and accept it. That's the truth. You and I are not Old Testament prophets. We're not even New Testament prophets. But we are sent forth. Look at it. There was a man sent forth from God. Notice, from God. From God. When we are sent forth from God, we have all that we need. I'm thankful tonight to know that God's calling will always be God's enabling. Whom he calls, he qualifies. Sent forth from God. The poet said, Christ the Son of God has sent me through the midnight lands, mind the mighty ordination of his nail-pierced hands. A man sent from God. I'll tell you what, we're representing the King of Kings tonight. Sent forth from God. John, the statement, there was a man. Secondly, sent forth from God. And notice something else, the signature whose name was John. He had a good name. You know the name John, you know what it means? Jehovah shows grace. That's a pretty good name, isn't it? Jehovah shows grace. He'd live up to his name too. Jehovah shows grace. No wonder John had some progress. Progress was even in his name. Do you know the name Christian tonight means a lot? The name Christian is a name of grace. We have people tonight, you might be named Sally, Sue, Bill, Joe, Sam, or whoever. But I'll tell you, the greatest name any one of us can wear tonight is a name Christian. That's a name of grace. Sent forth from God. The sending forth and the signature for service sent forth from God. The same came to bear witness of the light. You and I tonight are witness bearers. Bearing witness of the light. You see, tonight, we're the only people that have the answer to the dilemma that this world is in. Man sent forth from God, whose name was John, the same was sent to bear witness of the light. He is the light. He's the light of the world, isn't he? To bear witness of the light. And notice, let's keep reading here for just a moment. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, I want to simply say tonight that John the Baptist, while suffering for preaching the truth and suffering for doing right, he is still vindicated. He still makes progress. He will get out. Actually, what will happen to John the Baptist? He'll lose his head, won't he? He'll be martyred. He'll suffer a martyr's death. But I'll tell you, before John the Baptist's head would hit the ground, he'd wake up in glory anyway, wouldn't he? a choice servant of the Lord. The key to success tonight is to have God's blessing, to have His sending, to represent the light as He's the light, and God will bless that. There's one thing you can say about this man, this Old Testament prophet. He maybe had his sufferings, but at the same time, he had the blessings of God upon him, and the Lord blessed him. And in fact, Jesus would say, of all that was born of a woman, there's not a greater risen than John the Baptist. My friend, tonight, let's not be distinguished in our lives by how much we know, by how smart we think we might be. But the greatest way that any of us can be distinguished tonight is to faithfully represent the one who has sent us. We've been sent through the midnight lands. And I want to encourage every member of this church to be a faithful witness to the one who sent us. What we saw happen this morning in this church service was an act of God's grace whenever you see people saved and then baptized to testify to their identity with Christ. It's God that does that. And the only way that anyone will ever be saved is to hear the gospel. And let's do this. Let's just be faithful to keep being a witness. Let's keep representing the light. We're not the light, He is. And I believe that's how we make progress in our life. And we don't know this evening where the course of our life will take us. We don't know how we will even end this life. But I tell you one thing, we all will end on a good note as a Christian anyway. Sufferings are not the greatest defining mark of a child of God. It's Christ-likeness. That defines us more than anything else. And John the Baptist proved that all of the way to the end. And again, one more thought, I'm done. There was a man sent forth from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He suffering, he sends out word. Is this the Christ, or do we look for another? And again, Jesus sent back word and said, tell John this. Well, you know, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say how John responded, but I have a suspicion he responded real well to that. I believe he said, that's good enough for me. He said, that's good enough for me. I've seen what the gospel will do. I've seen miracles already. I know that that couldn't have happened by a dead God. And I believe he was convinced. See, that's the convincing thing tonight. And sometimes when we doubt and question what God will do, stop, back up, and consider what he's already done. Every one of us tonight is a miracle in this building. I'm looking at a bunch of miracles. You know that? And so are you looking at one. It's a miracle. Nothing is any greater than being a soul set free, knowing the Lord as Savior. And so old John the Baptist set a good example, didn't he? Pattern for progress. Let's just stay faithful to the Lord and witness to that light, and God will bless. Let's bow our heads in prayer.